Today my guest is Dustin Campbell. Dustin, how are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks.
Thanks for coming. You have a cool job, don't you?
I have an awesome job.
What is your job?
So I am the program manager for the IDE services team on Project Roslyn.
Project Roslyn. Let's talk about that. What is that?
So Roslyn is our project for rewriting, essentially rebuilding the compilers for C# and Visual Basic in managed code. So the existing compilers are written in C++, and we are rewriting them in managed code in the C# compiler in C#, the Visual Basic compiler in VB. Then on top of that, we're kind of opening up the compiler's data structures and algorithms. There's a lot of really cool analysis inside the compilers that, you know, a lot of cool smarts that we just kind of let go of when we're compiling. That would be enormously useful for, you know, building code smart aware tools, mm-hmm. those sort of thing, or code generators, lots of different places where you could use such analysis. And so we're building a set of APIs on top of the compilers to expose those data structures, that analysis. And then on top of that, we're also part of Project Roslyn. It's a huge project, right? We're rebuilding the C# and Visual Basic language services, which are essentially the coding experiences for C# and Visual Basic that you see in Visual Studio. And we are rebuilding those using only those analysis APIs. So essentially, you know, we're building something powerful enough that we could rebuild IntelliSense with it. That's really part of Project Roslyn. Some other facets of this are a set of scripting APIs to allow you to script applications, your own applications, or, you know, what we've done with it is we've taken those same APIs and we've built an interactive window, sort of a, you know, if you're familiar with dynamic languages or in the functional world, you'll often find what we call REPLs, the read, eval, print loop windows, yeah. where you can just kind of write some code, evaluate it very quickly, build up some context. Mm-hmm. Also building one of those for C# and one for Visual Basic.
Oh, nice. We had that in Fox Pro back in the
Yes, in Fox Pro. Yes, back in the day. And so, yeah, a couple of other things that we're doing as part of this, the language service features, the IDE features we're making extensible. So if you want to add quick fixes or refactorings to Visual Studio using the Roslyn APIs, you can also do that. So it's a really huge kind of effort.
That is huge. That's a lot of stuff. So yeah. So just rewriting the compiler itself, you're going to basically dog food that. You're going to have a C# compiler written in C#. Are there advantages internally to doing it that way rather than having it in C++, or is it just then you'll have one compiler across?
Yeah, so there are some advantages
for you.
Yeah. One of the things we're really kind of keeping an eye to is being able to make it easier for ourselves to both add language features, to add IDE features and that sort of thing. We want to be able to build a code base that's going to last the next 10 years.
Of course.
I mean, these are about a decade old. They're hard to, they've gotten to a place where they're difficult to work with.
Okay.
And so we really want to take these into the future and keep innovating. And we want to do it, you know, we want to innovate more quickly.
So. Okay, let's talk about a couple of high points here. I think the big one, I think, is exposing APIs mm-hmm. into the compiler. So you've had, you mentioned this before, you have all the goodness of what's happening when it's compiling, and then you're keeping that a secret. And now you're going to let us, as developers, actually tap into the, I don't know, the object tree or the compiler tree. Or
set of APIs for getting at. As we build the compiler pipeline, there's several core components to a compiler. We're building a different set of APIs on each. So, for example, the first part of a compiler, in the front of a compiler, is the parser. Right? It takes source text, okay. produces parse trees.
If I were a computer science major, I would have learned.
This is what you would have learned as a computer science major. This is technology and friends.
I was a biochemistry major.
Okay, so, well, I was a jazz guitar major, so that works out just fine for me. But building what we call our syntax tree API on top of that portion. Mm-hmm. So you can take source text, get back, parse that, get back a tree, and that, you know, is a complete tree representing all of the source code, including, like, you know, white space, comments, whatever. It represents everything. So you can always just take that tree and two-string it back to the original source code. Okay, okay. That's one piece of the API. Another piece of the API is kind of the next part of the compiler pipeline where we do importing of metadata from other assemblies or kind of a representation of sort of all the named things in your source code. Okay. So like your classes, your methods, all of that. And that's called that's essentially the symbol table in a compiler pipeline where we kind of collect together all the named things. And that has a symbol API on top of it. Kind of looks like reflection, a little bit, at least the introspective part of a reflection, not the invocation or the emit parts, but it's something that It has a very language-specific look to it. So, like, if you're looking at the VB symbol table, you're going to see modules, right, which you wouldn't see in Reflection. Next to that is probably the most, where most of the language lives, the next component of the compilers, is called the binder. And that the job of the binder, simply put, is to take things from the parse trees, so nodes from the parse trees, and try and figure out what symbol, what named thing they actually are associated with. Okay, so like, you know, I've got a method call over here called foo, find me the actual symbol through overload resolution, all of that sort of thing, which one does it point to? And so in the binder is kind of where the language, a lot of the language lives, like a lot of those, I mean, all the semantics of the language live. And we are on top of that building a set of APIs to allow you to ask kind of questions about trees. So like I could take an expression and say, what type is that this expression actually bind to? Or do flow analysis. So data flow analysis, control flow analysis, really get kind of get the nitty-gritty of like, oh, this variable is unassigned here, but it's assigned here, or this bit of code is not reachable, that sort of thing.
Okay, so there's code analysis. People that make tools for code analysis, which Microsoft already does, they can tap into this.
Yeah.
So, okay, can you tell me some of the practical applications beyond that?
So some of the practical applications are, for example, you know, we're going to build some great IDE features with this thing, and so you'll get a lot of benefit from that. Other practical examples are simply building an ecosystem. So, like, you know, you can imagine. You know, today we have the productivity power tools for Visual Studio 2010, right? And then people download that and they love it and they use it, and,
sure.
And there's a lot of downloads of that. Now imagine if we could take some of those extensions to the next level and really introduce some real language smarts simply because we have the API there. So all of a sudden the ecosystem can explode with, say, refactorings, right? You know, things
yeah,
that
so
really
the
take
means not just
really,
Microsoft, but the other
really
third party.
Another example that you know, some of our the folks we talked to were at the MVP summit right now. Some of the folks we talked to were really passionate about were things like doing code generation. You know, I've got schema and I'm generating a database layer. You know, Roslyn is not just about introspecting code, but it's also about generating code. You can build up trees and spit out C# or VB code at the end. I mean, think about what it takes to build a refactoring. You need to have the analysis and the generation part of that
right.
at the very end. And so that's a practical use that people are looking for. But it's really about, you know, a big piece of this is about building tools. That's at least part of Roslyn V1 is very much, we're expecting a lot of people to go out and build some really cool tools with this sort of thing. I mean, this is the sort of thing like, that people have been writing and rolling their own parsers and things for themselves for a long time. Like StyleCop, for example. StyleCop had to build its own parser to actually figure that out. That wasn't exposed.
Even though that work was already done by the compiler.
Yes, absolutely. And so now that could be written on top of Roslyn, and it would be very easy to provide quick fixes for those using the Roslyn API.
Probably run a lot faster, too, since you've done the same job twice.
Quite possible.
Okay, and what's the timeline of this thing?
Well, the timeline is right now, we are at a CTP. We released a CTP last October, and that's publicly available.
Where?
It's publicly available from MSCN.com/Roslyn.
Okay.
Roslyn is spelled R-O-S-L-Y-N. It's actually a town in Washington. It's not like, you know, some old lady's name or something like that. So that's available today. As far as timeline, where it's not in Visual Studio 11. So a lot of people ask that. Visual Studio 11 is right around the corner. We just released a beta today.
Yep.
And it is not in Visual Studio 11. So it's still future looking. It's not as long lead as it used to be. We're still trying to figure out exactly what the timeline
is. It does work with Visual Studio 11 today, though, right?
It does work, but the CTP will not install into Visual Studio 11.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of predates
What about 10?
It works in Visual Studio 2010.
Okay.
In the coming months, and we're looking at trying to release another refresh of the CTP that would install on VS11. Not sure when that's going to happen. Just kind of sees. Right now, we're working very hard on getting the compiler kind of done to done state, and so it just kind of if the kind of everything aligns and the compiler's in a good state, we may put one out there.
So I mean, given the history of the release cycles of dev tools. Those are, what, every 2 or 3 years apart. If you miss VS11, that kind of puts you several years behind unless you decide to do a mid-version release of this.
I hope so. But, you know, I also think that our release schedules, you know, the typical 2-3 year release schedule, the world is moving a lot faster now. I don't know if we'll stick to that or if there will be other interim releases. There are lots of things, you know, that's coming out with Visual Studio these days. We put out phone tools, and we put out Azure tools, and all these things come out. So there may be other opportunities as well. But definitely, we want to get it done. So I can't tell you when, but I hope not too far off.
Okay. And they go to msdn.com/Roslyn. Anywhere else?
That's the spot. That's where you find all the information. You'll find the download.
Okay. Yep. About find out about you.
To find out about me, I have a blog. It's called DidItWith.net. I've only recently started blogging on there again. There's like a 2-year break where I joined Microsoft, and you just find yourself very busy at Microsoft. And then this year, as you know, I went back, I attended CodeMash again, and I got really reinvigorated to get back involved in the community, get back on, you know, Twitter, and also get back to blogging. So hopefully you'll see some more stuff from me there very soon.
Okay, anything else?
That's it, I think.
Justin, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. David. Being basically a huge geek, all I have are technology and friends.